Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is episode number 109. I'm going to skip my long intro. For those of you who know me, welcome back. Thanks for listening. And if you are new, then make sure you listen to previous episodes and you can get an earful of who I am and what I'm up to. We're just going to dive in today. So lots of activity in the Facebook group. I haven't mentioned that in a while, so I wanted to remind folks, if you are listening and want to interact with other folks who are listening, you can go to Facebook and find us, the Everything Coworking group, or you can take this shortcut and go to everythingcoworkingclub.com, and that'll take you right to the Facebook group in case you can't find it. The GWA conference schedule, website, etc., is live. Super excited. We have an amazing agenda up for this year. Not all the speakers have been filled in yet, but we have a rock star list. And I'm super excited on day one this year. So Wednesday, we run the conference Wednesday through Friday. Wednesday is a workshop day. We have a fancier name for it. We call it the Coworking Council Lab. But for short, it's workshop day. So we have a great rundown of topics to help you work on your business instead of in your business. For those of you who are fans of the E-Myth Revisited, and if you haven't read it, it's one of my favorite books, the author talks about working on your business instead of just in your business, which is a trap that's easy to fall into as a small business owner. So we are really excited to be able to facilitate that day to bring everyone together and spend some time thinking strategically, sharing best practices, and getting excited about your business all over again. And then Thursday and Friday, we have an amazing lineup of speakers, including Lisa Picard, who is kicking off Friday morning. She is the CEO of EQ Office, which is the largest commercial real estate office holder in the world. So we can't wait. So see all the details at thegwaconference.com. I've gotten some emails about when the Coworking Startup School will relaunch mid to end of July. So working on that. To get on the wait list, head over to www.coworkingstartupschool.com. We just did our second office hours for the cohort that's going through now and had a great call. A huge list of good detailed questions that we dive in. The course is a great framework for getting through kind of all the pieces that you need to know to start your space. And then we provide opportunities like our office hours calls for people to get on and just go through all the little details that they're thinking about and trying to figure out. Okay, before I dive into today's topic, we have a new review. Thank you, Karen Burton. So Karen she's the co-founder, co-owner of Space Lab in Detroit. She says, it's my go-to resource for co-working ownership. This is the podcast I listen to for all things co-working ownership. Jamie connects with very knowledgeable guests, experienced owners, and service providers. I learn something new and get innovative ideas for my space every time I listen. Thanks for your leadership in the co-working owner space, Jamie. Thank you, Karen. That's awesome. Thanks for taking the time to write your review. I always appreciate reviews. I always make the analogy to our ongoing efforts to get Google My Business, Yelp reviews, etc. for our businesses. I've been in the process of trying to pick the pace back up on that. And we actually just got a one-star review. We got a couple of five-star reviews from members that just left. One moved and another got their own space. It's super, you know, we always love to see those come in. And then we got an anonymous one-star review from somebody who we think has never been in the space. There's no record of this person anywhere. They didn't leave a comment. All they did was leave one star. Such a bummer. So the advice we got to respond, we've never had a one star before on our Google My Business or Google review page. We went into our Google My Business dashboard and responded in a very positive manner. You know, we always love to hear feedback. Please let us know, you know, some comments on what we can do better. And the advice I got was to provide, actually from Karina Patel, I'll give her a shout out, with Pacific Workplaces and CloudVO. She's a great marketer. She suggested providing, you know, a direct email that that person could email with a response. And if we don't get a response, then to reach out to Google and flag that post and hope that it gets pulled down. So that is what we did. Hopefully that will work. So today we are going to dive into a marketing discussion. So the symptom of the marketing topic is not enough tours booked. So I was in, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have a Facebook group. I try to spend my time contributing to that group when I can, and I try not to get too distracted by the other groups that are out there, but I'm a member of many groups and will kind of scan through and see what people are thinking about, and it helps me understand kind of what the issues are and what can be a helpful topic for a podcast. So I was in one recently and there was a discussion by a woman who was not getting enough tours. And so a whole bunch of people jumped in and said, well, are you listed on, you know, this website? And are you on this website? And, you know, these people can help you get leads and this and that. And I thought, you know what? I bet her real issue is her website, because she came back and said, well, we're listed on all those places and they're not helping. So they're not helping probably means they're getting leads through those sources and they're not converting, which means, so the symptom is not enough tours, but the underlying problem is probably a website issue. So I just thought we would run through kind of what do you do when there's something off with your lead flow that you know isn't right, you're feeling like it's not right, you haven't kind of want to dig in and figure out what the problem is. So it's tempting to sort of do that shoot, ready, aim approach and start throwing tactics at the wall, to get nervous, start running promos, start overposting on social media, start running more events, that kind of thing. But that may not be the problem. So let's go back to the basics. When something doesn't look right, let's go back to our framework and let's look at some data and let's figure it out, and then start developing some tactics that we think might help. So always go back to your sales funnel to evaluate the steps of the sales funnel and see where you might be falling short. And sometimes, I mean, I think a lot of us pay a lot of attention to marketing and getting new members, and it's probably the thing that keeps us up at night the most, right? Because it's so critical to our business. If you have enough members, then you have the headspace to work on community events and improving your space and all the things that are on your list of to-dos. But if you don't have enough members and not enough sales and not enough revenue, that's the thing you have to spend time on. But sometimes we worry about it in sort of a vague way instead of getting specific. And so when you feel yourself kind of slipping into that track, make sure you go back to the basics and just really walk through step by step your sales funnel and find where the issues might be. And I did a 3-part series on the co-working sales funnel, episodes 84 to 86. So if you haven't listened to that yet, go listen to it. And if you have, it's always good to go back and revisit those, because sometimes it's just really easy to get distracted from the basics. So let's start talking about a couple of basics. So first of all, always go back to who are you serving? And I talk about this as the first module that we do in the Coworking Startup School. Every decision you make about your space from when you start, and then every ongoing operating decision should be, who is your core member? Like, who are you best positioned to serve? Unless you're in a small town, and we have those, of course, it's not everyone. If you're in a smaller market, it might be everyone. But this person who I'm telling the story about in the Facebook group is actually in a pretty competitive market, not too far actually from where I am in Palo Alto. And I know that the competition has been increasing sort of steadily over the past few years. So the issue is not small population size, and she should not be serving everyone. She needs to figure out, who is she specifically serving? Is she serving a tech crowd, a creative crowd, a more professional crowd? Is she serving, you know, high hospitality needs, high amenities, or is she like, you know, basics, low price, not probably the space you want to be in, but just as an example, there's an array of possibilities for who you are serving. But go back to that. And if you don't know, you got to figure it out, because a lot of us started and didn't think through that when we started. So that's part of the reason I'm passionate about it's module one. And every time somebody brings up a question in the Slack group, we had one this weekend, somebody popped in and said, have this great opportunity with a developer. Their space is in a shopping mall. So who here, you know, has a space in a shopping mall? And what are the things I should be thinking of? I wasn't thinking that a shopping mall would be the right location. And I said, look, who are you serving? And are they okay with a shopping mall? Because it's a great opportunity, but you don't, you know, you want to go back to your basics. Is the real estate, does it meet your checklist requirements? You know, is your, we call it your ICA, your ideal customer avatar, is that a location that's easy for them to get to? Lots of parking, we love that. And she responded, she's like, right, totally. I'm going to go ask my ICA. So always go back to the basics. And we are human. It's easy. There's just, you know, a million distractions out there. It's easy to forget that that's what we want to do. But you have a framework, which starts with, who are you serving? How are you different? And in the case of, we're just kind of focusing in this episode on the website piece, you know, are those messages coming through to your end users? And I would get an objective person involved to help you review your primary marketing assets, including your website. So somebody who is not you and is not biased about, you know, who you are and your story. And there are a few ways to do this. So one of the things I would do in terms of data, so website is sort of jumping in close to the top of the sales funnel. So generally, you know, you're looking at how do I get leads? And we'll talk about that a little bit further down using our Google Analytics tools. And then those leads, generally, one of their first stops is either your Google My Business listing and they come straight to a tour and they bypass your website, or they're going to go to your website and then they're going to, you know, contact you, hopefully book a tour, etc. So definitely listen to the sales funnel episode, which can help you go through the full sales funnel. I'll put a sales funnel image as a resource in the show notes on this episode as well. So your website is at the top of the funnel. And again, not every lead is going to go through your website. So they might go to Google My Business, or they might go through like LiquidSpace or DaVinci or Cloudflare are great examples. Those guys are spending money to acquire leads for you, and they're going to send those leads to your email account or your dashboard on their platform. So those leads are not going to your website. So certainly that's a consideration when you're looking at this data, but lots of folks are going to find you through search and or your Google My Business listing and click on your website link that's there and pop over to your website. And you can see how often this happens on your Google Analytics page. So hopefully you have Google Analytics set up on your website. If you do not, you got to do this immediately. So if you're working with a developer, reach out and ask them. You'll need to log in and go to, if you use the Google Suite, and if you don't, you'll have to create an account in order to do this. It's one of the apps that's part of the Google Suite. So you'll have to create an account and set up your website on it. And you need to get a special code that you put on your website in the code so that Google can start tracking all the data that it tracks for you. If you need help with this, this is super, super easy. Ask a developer that you work with or go to Upwork and post and say, I need some help doing this. And someone will tell you step by step how to do it and place that code for you if you give them access to your hosting site. So you should do this right away because Google can't track unless that tracking code is on there and it has such good data. So here's what I would do. Log into your Google Analytics. You should be doing this on an ongoing basis, probably once a month, at least once a quarter. But I get it. We get sidetracked. So this is just our reminder, our gentle, not judging reminder to go back to the basics, pull up that report. And the first thing I'd look at is your number of unique visitors down? So this would sort of get to the, do I have a lead problem or is it my website? And if your unique visitors is down, I mean, there are nothing I say is an absolute, right? Because there can be lots of other factors involved. So things could be happening like there could be a huge shift towards people using Google Maps to find space, right? And like I said, they might totally bypass your website. So you should look at that traffic as well and kind of cross tabulate, triangulate, and figure out, okay, if your unique website visitors are down, but your Google My Business listing visits are way up and together they add up to what you think they should be based on historical data, then maybe that's what's happening. So you have to do a little bit of detective work. But the first thing I would look at is, you know, go to Google Analytics. Are my website, unique website visitors down? And you can pull on that report. So there's kind of a home dashboard. You can customize the dates, and then you can compare to a previous period. So you can go in and pull, you know, year to date versus last year in the same period. Or you could do this month versus last month, or this quarter versus last quarter, or this quarter versus last quarter last year. However you want to kind of look at that. I like doing versus a year ago because I think that can show pretty significant changes. If you're only looking versus last month, there can be teeny little changes that don't alarm you as much as they should if you're looking versus a year ago. So pull some different time frames and maybe have some standards that you pick that you look at, like I said, like once a quarter. So if your unique visitors are down, that's probably a lead issue, right? So you're just not getting the same number of visitors to your site, you know, and then you need to go figure out why is that. If your number of unique visitors is not down and you're not getting the number of tours that you were getting, then you probably have a website issue. So I would take a look at that. Maybe you've done a website update or changed something, or user expectations have just evolved and your website has not evolved. Or some things could happen, like new competition in town that has really amazing website photos and yours have not been updated since you launched. So maybe they're just showing better than you are. You know, maybe you've got all the things on your website: live chat, easy phone number, easy access to membership plans, super easy to book a tour. You know, go through that checklist. And if all those things are there, then you have to start poking around at, like, okay, so what's changed? What did somebody else change that makes me, you know, not look quite as good or be a consideration as I was before? And certainly added competition to a marketplace can do that. It's hard to kind of stay, you know, in the lead on top of what's happening in your marketplace. Even if your SEO is good and you're still getting those unique visitors, possible that your website starts to kind of fail in or not do its job the best it could in certain places. So the other thing you can do if you're is look at your traffic and where it's coming from. So if you have a traffic lead problem and your unique site visitors number is down, then you can go into Google Analytics and you can get a lot of detail to help you figure out why. So you can look at, again, I would look at, you know, a certain period versus a prior period to help you see, am I up or down? And the analytics dashboard will break it out. So direct, which is somebody typed in your URL, Google Organic, which is people who searched for you and found you through Google. Google My Business, the website button, it tells you that, which is awesome. So you can see how many people went to your Google My Business listing and clicked the website hyperlink. Other referral sites, social media referral is on there, Facebook, Instagram, Yahoo Organic, Instagram, Yelp. So you can get a lot of detail on your traffic sources and see whether they're up or down versus a prior period and kind of start doing your detective work from there and figure out, okay, I think it's unusual to get a lot of traffic from social media, but if that has worked for you, then why has that changed? Google My Business, again, is there something wrong with your listing? Are the photos not showing well? Do you need more reviews? Do you have some bad reviews that you haven't responded to and dealt with? Do you need to get some more positive reviews to kind of balance those out? Or do you need to change something so that you don't get bad reviews? Of course, that's always an option. So just kind of poking around in there and doing some detective work, but this can give you a ton of data to help you figure out where to start. And that data is super important because we get very emotional and stressed out when we're not seeing the tour volume that we want to see. And so we want to just act and fix things. But look at the data first so that you're taking action. Like social media is a great example. If your leads are roughly the same as they were in a prior period, then it's not your social media activity. Do not ask your community manager to start posting twice as much. You know, the problem is your website and the conversions on your website. So if it is, if you think, okay, my leads are generally the same and I'm not converting on my website, what do we do then? So certainly go through the checklist on your website and again, get some help with an objective observer. There are a couple of ways. You can certainly ask some friends. I don't know if I would ask members. You could, if you have some friendly members, ask a friend who's in marketing, who kind of knows what to look for. There are services online where you can ask people to go through a certain action, like go to my website, you know, find a membership and book a tour to learn more about that membership and get their input on their experience and their notes and what they noticed and what was hard for them and that kind of thing. There are also some really good kind of technical tools that you can use. I shouldn't say technical. They're tools, not humans, but they aren't necessarily super difficult to use. There's one called Crazy Egg, which I've used in the past before, which is cool. So it basically gives you a heat map that helps you see how much time users spend on certain parts of your site and then what actions they take. You can get that data from Google Analytics as well, but the heat map is like a really visual way to do that. So I'm going to include in the show notes a link to a blog by HubSpot that lists 15 usability testing tools. And that's basically what you're looking for, is usability. So this is just to back up. If you've gone through the checklist of, look, I have a really prominent book a tour button on my website. I have live chat. I have a phone number. I have, you know, lots of easy way to contact. My address is in a prominent place. If you've kind of checked those boxes and there, you still think there's got to be some sort of problem here that I'm not seeing, then you can get some additional help with this. So usability is where that comes in. It's like, okay, if the sort of technical boxes are checked with what you need to have on the site, but people are not getting the job done, then maybe there's something that's not as intuitive or easy to use on your site. So Crazy Egg is one. I love these. Number 6 is called The User is Drunk. Number 7 is called The User is My Mom. These are real tools. So definitely check those out. Crazy Egg, you can get a free version. I didn't go through the whole process because I went over there and you have to log in with your Google account. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a black hole because I'm going to get really distracted on my own website and run off and talk to my developer about all the things we need to change on my own website. So I didn't do it. But you can get, at least for that one, you can get a free review, which might be helpful. So look at some tools, talk to your web designer. Maybe it's time to start reviewing, updating your website. Or again, it might be time to look at the competition. What does the competition websites look like? What do their photos look like? You know, how does their navigation? How's their usability? Maybe even, so I think you can only do your own website through a Google account. That's a good question. Can you do someone else's? I would guess not on Crazy Egg. But if you get some usability help, you might have them compare local competition that is serving kind of the same niche that you are to get a sense of, you know, what's different, what's more appealing about something they're doing or something you're doing, and kind of get some ideas of what to change. So the other thing I would mention that may not be totally apparent through data is things in our industry that can be wonky and that I just think there are not. Eventually, this is a little plug to any of the software providers that are listening. We need data on like check-ins throughout the year, you know, average, like what days of the week are most popular for visits. So folks like Kesey should have this data, and Office R&D and Proximity and all those guys should be able to give this aggregate data to help us understand what do trends look like across the week, across months, across the year. Because for example, summer can be a challenging time for co-working, right? Kids are either challenging or an opportunity if you're good at marketing it, which is partly why I'm bringing it up. It's June. So we're at that time of year where people start thinking, oh, somebody's going to leave because they're gone for the summer. The kids are out of school. So, you know, parents might need to work at home for the summer, or it's a total nightmare that kids are out of school and parents need to get out of the house for the summer. So there can be other factors that are happening. That's why it can be good to look at, if you're looking at Google Analytics, make sure you look at the same period in the prior year, because if you're experiencing some sort of seasonality issue, then that should reflect. I mean, you can go back, you know, multiple years and look and see if you see the same trend every year. It's a little bit more work, but if you're thinking, oh, this might be a summer thing, then definitely look at that. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to 25 North. They are running a co-working summer promotion, kind of getting at that whole kids are at home, you know, it's a nightmare. They're running a special for, I think, July and August, and regular rates kick back in September. So kind of a nice excuse to give a little discount to get people in to try the space, and then regular rates kick in at September. Hopefully those folks have made such a great routine and developed really great relationships out of coming to 25 North that they decide to stay. And then there are other things. I talked about competition. This is one of the things I've noticed in our market when I Google sends kind of those reports on search keyword volume, and WeWork has become like the Kleenex of co-working. So WeWork now has much higher search volume on that term than co-working in my market. So that just may be happening as well, that people know to search for WeWork, and so that's coming up first, and search results might look different in that sense. And if they search for co-working, then I have always had really great SEO in my market, and maybe I would come up first, but if they're searching for WeWork, I should test all of this, that they're coming up first and it takes them longer to get to me. So things like that may be happening in your market as well. So, but it's good to go back to that framework of what's the data, what's going on with my website, what's going on with my leads, and really, you know, kind of use that framework to force yourself to chill out, go back to basics, try to, you know, bring down that stress level and look at, okay, what are the things that I can control? And, you know, what are the things that I can improve and try to nudge those numbers back up? So, okay, so I will include links to those episodes, 84 to 86, the co-working sales funnel, and the 25 North co-working summer promo for you to look at, and the HubSpot blog that has the 15 usability tools that you might try for your website. Awesome. If you have any questions or thoughts, feel free to reach out to me directly, and I hope everything's going well, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.